the chasms of my brain. Whoa, that was weird. That's a little better. Okay. See? You can't go wrong without that. I believe the first time, you failed miserably.
Okay. I don't remember that, but go ahead.
I don't remember, honestly. Go on. But I feel like
I tried my best.
You did try your best. Do I remember you...
I was young and eager, you know, just...
Do I remember you driving along? You might have gotten in second or third gear, and then you hit the brakes, but you didn't hit the clutch in at the same time, and the car just stalled right then and there?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
Nope.
Yeah, that was someone else I taught stick.
No. Well, here's the thing. I remember my dad tried to teach me in the car I have now. At Memorial, and I couldn't get it for the life of me.
Yeah.
But the car I have now is a little bit more, is less giving, forgiving.
It's you have a really, when I drove it the other day, I was like, holy shit, you have a really hard clutch.
My clutch has to be like almost completely off for you to, for it to go.
You might need a new clutch soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Great that you're telling me that now. And then I remember driving in your yard, and I got it immediately.
Yeah.
And then And then I went back to my dad's, and then I was able to get it, like, immediately.
Yeah. It's just you need something easy to learn on.
Yeah. Do you still have that car?
Yeah. I was actually thinking about breaking it out. It's eligible for QQ tags.
I don't know what that is.
Like, historic tags. So insurance would only be, like, $250 for the whole year.
Oh, that's... Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Is it still run?
Still... Well... You have to bump start it. It doesn't start with the electrical motor. You actually have to bump start it.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know what bump starting means?
No.
Okay. So what you do is you get the car, you put it in first gear, and you get four people to push behind it when the key's in the ignition, and you get build up speed with the clutch in, right? You get up maybe like 20, 25 miles an
hour.
Just
by people pushing it?
And then you take the clutch, disengage the clutch, and you put it in gear, and you essentially do what a starter motor does. But you do it with manpower.
You know, I really want you to retrofit your car with a hand crank.
Have you ever seen those old cars back, like the old Citroens back in France? You actually had to take a rod and you stick it in the front of the engine and you crank it and you go, and that's how you started the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we need to do.
That's what I think we should. Well, so at that point, it's pretty impractical if you need four people to help start it.
Yeah. Or me and Ben, and he drags the... We hook up something to the back of the Jeep or the tractor and pull it with that.
Right. You could do that too.
It took, you know, the last time I tried to start it, it took two drags up and down my street to get it right.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
In the diesel truck.
Oh.
So we had to get up to like 30 miles an hour.
Jeez. But once it's good, it's good.
Once it's on, it's on. But I don't know what it is, if it's the distributor cap or something. I have to go through.
Of course, a distributor cap.
I have to go through the engine and just tinker with it till I can figure out what's going on.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, welcome to the KY Jimmy Show.
Hey, everyone.
My name is Kyle.
My name's Jimmy.
It is.
Yeah.
No, I can confirm.
You're confirming.
Yes. We are a week away from myself leaving and Ethan leaving from on the trip.
I heard good news about Ethan.
Yes.
Driving.
Oh, yes. We had to, what was that day? What day was that? Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. Thursday, I was teaching Ethan how to drive stick, and he got it eventually. It took a couple times, but he got it.
Yeah.
It was good. So, he just needed, you know, just hands on, and he'd done it before. He just needed a refresher. So, and plus every car and clutch is different.
It's always different.
Apparently I need a new clutch.
Well, I don't know. A couple times driving it, you know, I can't get a feel for it. What you got to do is you got to put it in fifth gear, and you got to let the engine idle around 500 RPM, and you put it in fifth gear, and if at that,
basically... So you're testing it at like 80, 85 miles an hour.
No. You're rolling. You're rolling, but you put it in fifth gear, and you let it go, and you don't touch it, and you just let it idle, and if there's any slipping in the clutch, that's how you know there's something going on. Probably should do that.
You want to do it right after the show?
We probably should do it after the
show.
So
let me ask you this. If that does need to be replaced, what is the where do you go from there?
That's a very time-consuming and expensive job.
Oh, God damn it. How expensive?
Well, you have to drop the engine and transmission out.
Fuck.
And you have to separate them.
Well, that's very inconvenient.
And then you have to replace the clutch and the clutch assembly. And then you have to redo the line. It's about a 2 week.
Two weekend
process.
So 4 days.
4 days. 5 days. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, good thing I have 4 days coming up that I can easily just drop everything and do that. Oh, wait. No, I don't.
Yeah. Actually, I can't believe I didn't think about that the other day when we were going over everything.
Yeah. We'll do it. Can we do it real quick after the show?
Yeah, we can do it real quick after the show.
It sounds like a quick little test.
A quickie.
Get a quickie test.
Quickie test.
Let me ask you this. What happens if it doesn't, if something happens on the trip? Because we're, from what you're telling me, we're fucked if that's the case.
You won't be driving.
Oh, good. Well, that's what I want to hear. Fuck the electronics.
The best you might be able to get is, if the clutch does go, you might be able to jimmy it in third gear, and you have to drive along third gear. The whole trip.
Well, third gear gets you what? Like maybe top speed 40 miles an hour?
Top speed, if you want to go red line, maybe 80.
Okay.
Your engine blows up.
Yeah, I don't want to do that either.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been saying, though, for a little while that this trip may be the final nail for the car, you know, just for getting a new one.
Put it in there.
Yeah, getting a new one and you know, setting that one free. It's 11 years old. There's 238,000 miles on it. This trip is gonna add a lot more. It's gonna add at least what did we do last year? 51. So probably like at least 6,000, 7,000 because of that longer trip this year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would love to go 250,000 miles though. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. We did that in my truck.
There you go.
In the diesel.
Oh, the Ford.
Yeah. Go. Yeah. If I could impersonate a diesel.
So maybe that will be the case with this one. That'd be cool though for not my first car, but just like a car that I drove got to 250,000. Though I got it from my dad at 181,000. So.
181. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, it's about right for the past couple of years, what you've been putting on it.
Yeah, I got it when I was, how old was I? Or what?
You had the green one when you were in high school.
Yeah, no, I had the minivan before that.
Oh, the minivan.
Remember that?
Yeah, and then you had the green one for a short time.
I did. And then my dad sold me the one I have now, and he got a Fit. And then my brother got the green one because my brother was driving. So I had to get I got the green one right after I started dating my current girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
So probably... I remember. It was right before we went away on senior trip. I got it.
That's what it was. Yes. I remember because you were like,
And then I think it wasn't until that, I want to say that fall, because I remember going to BCC because that's when I started going there.
Yeah.
And I remember getting the tags for the green one, and then my brother immediately getting that, and me getting, because we shared the car for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that was fun.
Oh yeah, well I was working the whole time, so he didn't really couldn't do anything with it because I had to go to work.
You had to go to work,
and he wasn't working,
and that's the price you pay.
And that's the price you pay for not having a job at the point. Anyway, I digress. So yeah, it's a week away. I'm really excited. I finished all of it, but the website stuff is updated on my end. I haven't put it up officially yet with more pictures from last year.
It's not official.
But it has like a better display page of how to navigate through all the pictures and whatnot. It makes you're looking at me very creepily.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's that. And but hey, what about if we do the show when we do the show on the road? Because there's gonna be one show where we do that. You can call in.
Oh, I'll call in.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, this is a good idea.
Yeah, just give me a call on my telephony.
Yes.
My telephony phone or phone.
Exactly. We haven't done this in a while. Plug our social media at the beginning of the show. We always do it at the end.
Wow, yeah, we always do it at the end.
Hey, like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Hey, check our website.
Check it out.
KYJimmyShow.com.
Yeah.
And what's the other thing? Oh, right, write us a review on iTunes.
You can always look at our weird pictures while you listen to our voice so you know who's who.
Exactly. Well, maybe you know who's who. It really doesn't specify on there who's who.
No, it doesn't, does it?
No. Awkward.
Awkward.
But that's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm the short one.
Yeah, I'm the short one.
That's me. So, and Jim is wearing a cool shirt today, by the way.
Yeah, it's a classic.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
It's an oldie. You know who has that shirt of mine?
Who?
My girlfriend.
Really?
She got it like maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah. And you just haven't gotten it back yet?
No.
Come on, man. This is a classic cross country.
She has a couple sweatshirts and shirts of mine that I just.
Renegade cross country shirt.
Yes.
That Coach Atwell endorsed. He used to wear like every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was stinky.
Mine's even like wrinkled and everything. It's like you, the white letters are like cracked. It's like.
Yeah.
It shows dedication.
It does. That was so long ago. Heart. I can't believe that was, holy God. God, that was like almost 9 years ago when we started that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's how old this shirt is.
Yeah. Holy God. I feel old.
And I feel old.
So anyway, do you want to talk about stuff? Do you have something, by the way?
Sure.
Did you find something?
Oh, yeah. It's a quick little thing.
Oh, do you want to talk about it
first?
Yeah,
you talk about it first.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Share the knowledge, if you will.
Share the knowledge. So, who is? You know, Kyle and I are both very advocates of renewable energy.
Yes.
Yes. So this is just, I can't, unfortunately for me, because I'm not at the school computers, I can't access this whole article, but it's a publication on physical chemistry. So it's, you know, they do all these crazy computations and blah, 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 blah. But basically, I have the abstract here, and I'll just go through it real quick. I'll abbreviate, I will condense it, and make it. Yeah, in layman's terms for everyone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You mean me.
No, everyone else, too. I mean, come on, who else understands what I say half the time?
Who else is listening?
Yeah, well, I don't know. So recently, perovskite, CH3NH3PbI3, which is a cubic structure with doped with a couple atoms in between.
It smokes dope?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
And Kyle can actually look at the picture here.
I can.
He can see.
It looks cube.
You have a cube.
Yes.
Okay. And then what happens is you have an atom in the center
you
of
do.
This
it's
cube.
You do. It's that yellow.
Yes. Okay. That's the center of the, that's a centered body cube. And you have, and then you actually have these four things, or eight on the faces, eight molecules on the faces.
Right.
And what this cube does is actually,
it counts
it's a perovskite. And what it does is it actually takes the energy that comes in from the sun and it converts it into electricity. That's the basic principles of solar panels.
Okay.
So this is a somewhat article about basically what they go through and say is that these metals before perovskite sensitizers made a breakthrough in solid state mesco solar cells, where the first recorded efficiency was around 10%. And you remember we talked about this, the efficiency starts really low. The first one was about 6%, it says. And then what they do is they doped it with some titanium oxide, a thicker film, and it raised it up to 14%. So that's mostly what...
I think we're in like the... Wasn't it somewhere that we had an article, I don't think it was that recent, but where they got it up to like 20-ish maybe?
Right. And this is... whoopsie.
That's this the computer.
Yes. This is a confirmation of it. So basically, the ones that you see now are about 14% efficiency.
Okay.
So it turns about 14% of the light that it sees from the sun into energy.
Right.
Which is, when you think about it, the amount of energy that the sun exposes or the expends and you see during the daytime is a lot. That is
right.
A decent amount of energy.
Okay.
However, so this new perovskite that they have made.
Well, isn't it all energy? We're only able to capture some certain percentage of it anyway. Like your gas in the car.
Yeah,
like
it's impossible to get all of it.
Right, the motor only uses something of the explosion, or I don't know.
How the efficiency of it?
Yeah.
I
know, obviously, miles to gallon.
It's about 30% efficient.
Okay.
You being able to use what it can from the explosion.
Right.
But anyway, so this new material, they have confirmed that the efficiency from the energy that it can obtained from the sun is up to 20% that they saw.
Okay.
So I just thought
it was
pretty
cool. With
this one? Yeah, yeah, with this new cell. So if they're going forward with it, that means it's affordable, you know, it's cost effective, because that is the limiting factor in all
solar panels.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You don't want to spend $100,000 for a solar panel that gets 40% efficiency, but how long is it going to take for you to make that money back?
Yeah.
And then the risk of, you know, it breaking or something, ruining it, and then you lose that money.
How much are solar panels? Like a normal one? A
couple 10,000, I think.
One solar panel?
Oh, not one solar
panel. That's what I'm talking about.
Didn't we look it up once?
I don't know.
It depends how much you... I mean, if you wanted to, like, do the ceiling...
I'm on Amazon.
Amazon the shit! I mean, if you wanted to do, like, your roof on the top of your house...
you got portable ones. No, I don't want portable ones. No, you don't want
portable ones.
Here's a inverter power. What are we looking at?
Can you go from how much inverter power? Go to 300 watt? Is that 3,000 watts above? Those are probably commercial grade. Oh, no, those are inverters.
Oh, yeah.
Lame.
Let's go back to solar panels. Let's see. Okay. Here we go. No, is that what I want? Micro inverters? No, that's not
an inverter. No.
Amazon, what are you doing? Amazon solar panels. Solar panel.
I don't know if Amazon would have something like commercial grade solar panels. Don't worry, folks. We're going to find out for you.
Maybe.
Just for our own entertainment. Not even for you.
They have like the foldables.
The backpack ones, right?
What about this? Starter kit, 400 watts, mono four piece. 667?
Maybe. Let's see. I'm on a California government site. Let's see if I can find anything here. It's like an installation. All I can find is this stuff on installation costs. Nothing about actual. Oh, wait. Here we go. Inferior systems cost $3,000 to $5,000. Much, much more than commercial grade. It doesn't, I guess.
$3,000 to $5,000 per panel or for the whole thing?
It says a system.
That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
How much are electricity costs per home? Like for an average home?
I don't know.
That we can look that up on the internet too.
See, so the thing is, like, that inverter is what converts the energy that the solar panel takes into electricity.
Right.
But let's see, total solar off the grid small home 8,000 solar energy system. MSRP $19,000.
Yeah. So it looks like you could make that back pretty fast if this information is. Correct. During the winter months, people see about 140 to 175. Summer months, in the 300s because of air conditioning.
Okay.
Because you can meet that back pretty quickly.
Yeah, I know.
I think people are just afraid of initial costs and long-term benefits.
I talked to my one of the girls, a girl I dated, her mom actually did that. She did the water heater and the solar panels. And I know within 5 to 6 years, before it got big, like it was the girl... Sarah, she lived in Central Jersey.
Yeah,
you remember her,
Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
No. Is this before the last one?
I remember. This is a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so her mom.
I'll pretend.
Her mom actually invested in these before like they got big.
Right.
And I think she made her money back within like 5 to 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. But I mean.
Yeah, but back then it was more expensive, too. Yeah,
exactly. So. It was a major investment for her, and she thought it was the right thing to do, and she was making money off of it. I know that. Before it got big.
Electricity companies probably paying her sometimes, too.
Oh, yeah.
For money.
Absolutely.
Reverse those lines.
Yeah.
There you go. Cool. But that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I know the efficiency obviously is a big factor. I wonder what the efficiency on like other renewable energy is anyway, like wind or geothermal or things like that.
That's a good call.
Thank you. I mean, again, and I think solar panels for around here are the only. Like, we talked about this before. Like, what's the optimum for New Jersey? Like, obviously, every place is different. Obviously, like in the plains in the Midwest, wind power is a huge thing. I remember when we did our trip last year. Looking out, saw wind turbines.
And solar panels.
For miles.
For miles and miles and miles.
I can see for miles. And they all have these synchronizing lights, so at night you'd be like, what the f- is there an alien invasion? And that was just wind turbines.
Stuff. We and then staff.
In California, they were like at the base of the mountains where all the wind came down from, yeah. and it they were just like tons of them.
And they just keep going and go. Well, it was it was like right. It was where, because you know, like LA is, it's LA is like sea level, and then it goes right up to the mountains. So what happens is all that air that comes up off the ocean, it goes up through LA, it passes through that valley area.
LA. California dreaming. Sorry.
So that's why it's really good for wind turbines there.
Yes. Here, actually, I'm going to bring up the map real quick of Los Angeles. So so where we saw the wind turbines was out here. If we actually do this too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let's get a in-depth field here.
It was right here.
Yeah. Right when it started to increase.
Right.
In elevation.
Yes. Or was it here? Am I in the wrong spot? I feel like I'm in the wrong spot.
I don't know, Kyle. I don't remember.
It's back
My
here.
My memory doesn't right serve here. Me
this
well.
This is where it was.
Yeah, but you can see it's like this. It's like
so a valley. There's this huge mountain.
Right.
What was this? Mount San Jico? Jenko? Here it is. These are all... There it is. So you can clearly see they're dotted all over the place here.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That mountain is huge. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's where it was. I have pictures from that exact spot that we had, that we went to as well. There's pictures on the website of the solar... Of all the wind turbines. You took the pictures because yes. I was driving at the time.
It was quite gratifying.
Gratifying is the word I would use as well.
Yes.
Alrighty. So enough of that.
Enough of that.
What are you looking up?
Well, apparently I can't get a list of all the efficiencies of everything.
That's no. The internet should be able to provide that.
The internet couldn't provide me with it, Kyle.
Yes.
So I'm looking through, but it's not really that. You know, I'd have to do.
You know, the internet research. Is stored in a box somewhere.
In a box?
Yeah.
We're in a box. We're accessing a box right
okay,
now.
Okay, I lied. That's not true. The internet, despite what people think, is not a room in some building that just stores everything, or that is like the crossroads of the internet that does not exist. The internet. Is what you when you surf the internet, you're accessing other people's computers information, essentially, servers, and those servers could be all over the world. So you're just pinpointing one computer and taking the information from it. It's not.
That's all you're doing.
It's a start point and an end point, and the endpoints are not always the same for people. So just so that everyone knows, it's not a crossroads.
That's why you can get viruses from different sites because it's hosted by different people.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Right. Our site. Is hosted by, well, I don't think I probably shouldn't even say that because they don't pay me anything.
Yeah, they
to
don't
say
pay
it.
You to say it, so don't say
why
it.
Why even say it?
Don't.
Doesn't matter.
Don't matter.
It's got an alligator in the picture that you can figure
it's
out.
It's got a gator.
It's got a gator.
It'll chop your hand off.
Yeah. Anyway.
Chop it.
Thank you. So, let's talk about this because I just found this story right before we started, and it's pretty ridiculous.
This is the one that you said, right?
Yeah, it's ludicrous, if you will.
Ludicrous.
Luda.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. By the way, if I'm talking weird at all, the reason why is I have a canker sore in my mouth right now. It fucking
still
hurts.
Going?
It hurts so bad. When I woke up this morning, I was actually feeling a lot better, and as the day's gone on, it's gotten worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, it's because when you sleep, you don't bother it.
Right.
And when you talk and you eat, you do other things.
I do.
You're just like, ah!
It's how I feel right now. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
And last night I was going on like lines just to try to figure out like any like home remedies for it. One person suggested putting ice on it, so it kind of numbed it a little bit, and I did that for a little bit.
Yeah, like a nice little ice chunk in there.
Yeah, it helped a little bit, but it was okay. But I just want him to go away so bad.
He's been complaining about this since... What day was that? Friday?
I think I got Friday. It. I think the first time I felt it, it was on a Tuesday.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's been almost a week. Hopefully, but it's on its way down. Like, it doesn't hurt as bad as it did yesterday or Friday, but I can still feel it.
It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts a lot. Anyway, enough about my problems. For a few moments Monday afternoon, it appeared hours would be restored to the Carabas County School Nurse Program. But in the end, it was Commissioner Larry Burgage, Chris Mensmer, and Jason Ostrike. A streak? Voting down the proposal. Cabarrus County Commission Chairperson Liz Poole proposed restoring $164,905 to the Cannabis Health Alliance budget, which would allow school nurses to work 7.5 hours each school day and work 9 teacher work days for training. The funding was cut by a 3-2 vote in June on a wide-ranging resolution made by Ostrike. Barrage and Mesmer also voted for that resolution. Poole says she learned that the school nurses would be cut by an hour each day from the article in Sunday's Independent Tribune. County officials said that miscalculation during the 2013-2014 budget caused the shortage. It was discovered during budget discussions for the current fiscal year, and the funding was added to the proposed Cannabis Health Alliance budget for 2014-2015. The Health Alliance made up of the difference for the program for a one-time appropriation of $300,000 by commissioners to make up from federal shortfalls in Medicaid reimbursements. Commissioners disagreed on whether there were strings attached to that funding. Poll and Commissioner Steve Morris disagreed with Mesmer's assessment, saying that the money was used for the school nurse program, so it is mismanagement of the funds. It's a mismanagement of the funds, which unfortunately affects the school nurses. That's something we've had nothing to do with. No specifics on how to spend the money were given, said Morris, who also serves on the health board. He said the Medicaid funds were lost because a previous board of commissioners wanted the Health Alliance to stop offering services that would generate the federal funds, and the $300,000 was to make up for that. Ostrike said the nurse school program is not needed as much as it once was, and parents have plenty of resources, here we go, such as texting their doctor and WebMD. Jim.
That's their solution, huh?
That's the solution. Now, as far as we've come in a technical evolution, if you go to any doctor's appointment and you talk to them about what you are on WebMD, they're going to look at you like you're batshit fucking crazy.
So you think you're going to die from this excessive diarrhea?
There was a cartoon I saw not too long ago. It was,
is that chicken pox on your ass, or is that just a
rash?
Oh, I was going to say something else.
That one places.
Yeah.
That had potential. It was a cartoon of this guy. He's like, oh, my stomach hurts. And then WebMD is like in the corner. It's like this fictional stethoscope stick figure. He's like, could be cancer. He's like, oh, I have a headache. Could be cancer. He's like, oh, I broke my leg. Could also be cancer. But self-diagnosis.
Can we do a self-diagnosis right now on WebMD?
Sure.
Can we?
Yeah. What do you want to?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want to self-diagnose?
I don't know. Let's.
What about my canker sore?
Yeah, yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. Here, let's go. So I'm gonna click on symptoms for
me.
It says for me or for someone else. No, it's for me. I'm a male. I'm 18 to 24 years old. Yeah, I don't want to put that at all. Okay.
Definitely not.
Step one, click on the body to find and choose the symptoms. Head.
Okay.
Mouth. Bad breath. bleeding gums, bruising, discoloration, cough. Pain or discomfort. I'll go with that. How would you describe your pain or comfort? Burning or stinging? None of the above. Okay, well, only one option.
Okay, yeah, yep.
How severe is your discomfort? Mild, moderate. I'm going to go with moderate. Moderate. It fucking sucks.
Someone's complaining.
Pain or discomfort brought on, made worse by chewing, made worse, it's nothing hot is bothering. It's when I'm eating something dry has been bothering it.
Huh.
So... made worse by swallowing irritating chemicals or poison.
That might be something else.
Yeah, you might be someone might be trying to kill you. I'll just say made worse by chewing. Toothache, cold sores, dental
abscesses,
acute sinusitis. I don't know what these are.
Sinusitis,
canker sores.
Hey, there's you.
It's down on the list though. The first one's cold sores, which is herpes.
Herpes.
I do not have herpes, ladies and gentlemen.
Made the herpes come out of her.
I don't have herpes. I have the HIV.
The HIV?
HIV.
Oh, that's not funny.
Just kidding.
Oh my god, that's as bad as my jokes.
Let's see. So okay, so I just so honest. So obviously, I know what I have. But if I went through there first time. Doctor, I have herpes. No, you don't have herpes. No, I have herpes. It says so on WebMD. You don't have herpes.
You don't have herpes.
There's small ulcers inside your mouth. They usually appear on the tongue or cheek. Mine's on the inside lip or at the base of the gums. Mine's on the inside lip.
Wait, does it say what causes it?
Cancer? It's cancer.
Cancer.
No one knows for sure what causes canker sores, although physical and emotional stress are possible triggers. My emotional stress... Because it came on Tuesday, I'm guessing my emotional stress is when you told me last week that you couldn't go on the trip.
Uh-huh.
You caused my canker sore.
You bastard. Do I see people with
Here we go. this is a direct link to what we... Canker sores are not cancer, and they do not turn into cancer. They are also not caused by the herpes virus. Kyle does not have herpes. Good oral hygiene is important, though, to prevent infection. I have good oral... I've never had a cavity in my life.
Cavity?
A cavity.
Have a you cavity. Had
cavity.
Yeah, I've had a couple.
Oh, really?
I have bad.
Zero. Zero. Good well, you're like you. Backwoods. So, I mean, what more can you expect? This is funny because we're... avoid hot and spicy food. Soft bristle brush... toothbrush to clean your teeth every meal. That's what I use. I brush my teeth. Use an over-the-counter antibacterial mouthwash or rinse with mild saltwater solution several times a day. I've been told to do that. I haven't done that yet. Yeah, pretty. Okay. Cool. So that's... Anyway.
Cool.
At WebMD. But like I'm saying...
But they told him it wasn't cancer. That's amazing. I can't
that,
believe
yeah,
that.
I'm happy about that because I don't have cancer.
Yes.
Let's see. I'm comfortable with them being there for 90% of what they were there before.
So we're back to the article.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's saying that 90% of the time that they should be texting their doctor or WebMD.
Texting their doctor. The most informal way to contact a professional.
It is. And what do you say? Thanks, doc. THX for thanks.
THX, doc.
Thanks for
D-O-C.
The number four. Thanks for the advice.
Good to know. I have CINCER.
Yeah. Do you still get checkups after, even though you're over 18?
I actually haven't gone for 2 years now. Okay. I haven't had many issues. I don't get sick often.
Right.
You know,
I got a checkup for the past 2 years at a new doctor because I still went to the pediatrician.
Did he?
Can you go up till you're 20?
Yeah.
And the doctor that I went and saw, I've been seeing since I was like 4 years old.
Right.
So I knew the guy. He's really awesome. And I got this new guy because it was recommendation. Nicest guy in the fucking world. Nicest fucking guy.
Did he tell you to bend over and cough?
He did not.
Oh.
That doesn't happen for a couple more years, Jim. I don't think until we're at least 40 that we get that.
Yes. Good. You have good reflexes.
Well, do have to turn and cough when they cup your balls, though. They did do that.
That's what I was talking about.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, probing. They didn't do any probing. No.
Yeah, I was talking about the ball holding.
Yes, they
did. The sack holding.
They did do that.
The sack holding.
Well, we're at that age where testicular cancer can start, so they need to check for that.
Cancer.
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 God damn it. I wonder
if WebMD, pain in my balls. Could be cancer.
Pain in my balls.
Anyway, the point of this story that we're trying to make
your bitch didn't kick you there.
Wow. the point of it all is WebMD and texting a doctor is not appropriate. School nurses are an important thing to do.
Agreed.
So
they're an important thing to do?
They are an important thing to have in schools. I remember, I feel like in elementary school, I went there like every day because I felt like sick. And I was one of those kids who was like, oh, I feel sick. I should probably go to a nurse. And then over time, I got away from that. Like I didn't, I was like, oh, don't be a pussy.
Yeah.
Kind of attitude.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But hey.
Hey.
But I did go home sick on Tuesday from work, so I mean, I never go home sick.
Never.
Or never call
never
out.
Never does that.
I never call out.
Never.
Either. The last time I called out was when, you remember in March when I was super sick?
Oh, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I called out one day for that because I was, throwing up and it was crazy. It was like that all the time. And I fainted. And I fainted while pooping.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it happens.
That's something to share.
Yeah. It's called the KY Jimmy Show. We share our lives. Our names are in the title. What your name is? Half my name is in the title. So I'll only share the disgusting half of me.
So yeah, he passes out while he takes dumps.
I did.
You must have been straining yourself really hard there.
I wasn't.
No?
Nope.
It just happened.
Just happened. Anyway.
Anyway.
Okay, so a police officer fired for throwing a tear gas grenade into a crowd of Occupy Oakland protesters who are tending to a wounded comrade is getting his job back. An arbitrator on Wednesday overturned the police department's termination of Officer Robert Roach and ordered him reinstated with back pay. Roach became the lightning rod over police handling of the 2011 Occupy protests when he was caught on camera tossing the grenade into a crowd of protesters trying to assist Iraq war veteran Scott Olson. Oh, geez.
So wait, why is he getting reinstated?
That's a great question. We should read on.
Maybe we should.
The grenade incident came less than a minute after a police officer who had never been identified struck Olson in the head with a lead-filled beanbag, fracturing Olson's skull and causing him permanent brain damage. Olson received a $4.5 million settlement from the city earlier this year. The incident, which made international headlines, turned many citizens against the police department and turned many officers against their comrades, who felt that they left them far too understaffed to deal with a major protest. Roach is a phenomenal police officer, and he was scapegoated like all the other officers from the Occupy experience, said Sergeant Barry Dolan, who heads the police union. Richard Letterman, who represented Olson, said that she was stunned by the arbitrator's ruling. It really gives you pause that he would reinstate.
Wait, Kyle, give it some pause.
Oh, like a high five from a dog?
No. Like pause.
That he would be reinstated when you have such a blatant case of police misconduct that is caught on video and publicized all over the world, she said. It points out there is still an endemic problem in the ODP.
The OPP?
The ODP.
Oh, the OPP.
ODP. Oakland Police Department.
OPD.
OPP.
OPP.
When it comes to trying to impose any kind of discipline, even in a case like this where the evidence is so clear.
You down with OPP?
Yeah, you know me. Roach was placed on paid leave after an October 2011 incident and was fired last August for having tossed the grenade, his attorney said. Like many Oakland officers, he exercised his right to appeal his punishment to an independent arbiter and prevailed. Of the last 15 arbitration cases in which officers have appealed punishments, the punishments have been revoked in 7 cases and reduced in 5 others dating back 2 years. The city prevailed on only 3 cases, according to a report for the city's attorney's office. Now, here's the thing that upsets me, is that police departments now, I think, in the country are feeling more and more entitlement. I think
entitlement.
If I could pull up the article I saw the other day.
Why do you say entitlement?
Defensive of their actions and just like justifying.
Okay. Because they are trained in those situations and blah, 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 blah. Their judgment is best, right?
Right. So this story I just saw the other day. So, I don't know why, but it seems like for the past couple months, we've been seeing tons and tons of stories on cops killing dogs and
really,
owners' seen... dogs and not getting in trouble for it. However, if you shoot a police dog, that is considered a part of the police force and you can go to jail for like 15 years.
Yeah, I do know that.
So, and they've been like, you know, put on desk duty and that's it, which is very unfair. So around 100 dog owners attended a protest rally at the Lancaster City Police Station in Pennsylvania Thursday, attendee Vanessa Horn, who spoke with the police state daily, said. Protesters assembled after a pit bull was shot and killed by a Lancaster police officer in an arcade parking lot the day before. Officers said that they received a call about an aggressive dog loose in the parking lot of Hager Arcade located at 25 West King Street Wednesday. Police said the caller claimed that the canine jumped out of the back of its owner's truck before he tried to capture it, but could not. The initial response was handled by the civilian service aide. Typically, CSAs handle low-priority calls for service such as a parking complaints, remove boots from vehicles, assist with traffic control when needed to take found stray dogs to SPCA, Society for the Prevention of Cruelty of Animals. Police say the owner of the dog was not in the area at the time but returned after the animal was killed. He was notified of the situation. During the rally, protesters were on hand with signs and their canines to voice concerns about how dogs are being treated by police, not only in Lancaster but around the country, Vanessa Horn said in an email interview. We want the police departments to imagine how they handle animal situations by preventing appropriate training to their officers. So, I have a dog. You have many cats.
Two.
Okay, two. Really, that's it?
That's it.
Oh, I felt like you had like a ton more. From the articles I've been reading about this, it seems like they're only killing them because they're barking or like trying to attack them. But you have to understand, like, that's kind of what dogs do for their owners.
Yeah, if they're threatened, of course they're gonna fight back.
When Jim comes over, my dog barks.
Yeah, not today though. She didn't do it today.
Usually,
very
when
surprised.
Usually, when Jim comes over, the dog barks.
Anyone walks like if she sees a figure like step 1 foot onto the sidewalk in front of your house.
What?
But she's not aggressive.
She's protecting.
Barks. Yes.
That's what her nature is telling her to do is be protective.
That's what dogs were bred to do.
When she was when she meets someone new, first she's like barks and like kind of steps back, but then when you get to like pet her and cuddle her, she's like, "Oh, okay, you're good.
You're a nice person."
Like that's the thing. Like that's what dogs fucking do.
Yep.
Horn said that the high point of the event, there were probably around 100 attendees, though local news outlets claimed only a few dozen. I think this is an issue that resonates with most every dog owner, she said. It seems like every other day it's in the news. Another defenseless animal shot by police with improper training that didn't know how to deal with effectively with a canine. You would think a 250-pound police officer could subdue a 50-pound animal without having to kill it. True. The problem of police officers shooting dogs with impunity is not new, but has reached a fever pitch in recent years as documenting the events has become easier. In fact, the incidents are so prevalent, animal rights activists have developed a term to describe them, puppycide.
Puppycide.
Okay, that's a little bit ridiculous, but
yeah,
whatever.
Well, that's animal activist groups for you.
Right. Some of them are a little bit ridiculous. I will give them that.
It's
not clear how often police kill animals when they are arguably don't need to. There are no state databases, and it's not a category in municipal crime reports. Neither does the FBI, nor does the Bureau of Justice Statistics collect data on dog shootings. Meanwhile, the U.S. Postal Service knows exactly how many mail carriers were bitten by dogs, but no one seems to know how many were killed by law enforcement. Some have attempted to undertake the task, however. Filmmakers Patrick Riesenhofer and Michael Ozias tried to nail a rough estimate as part of their research for a documentary called Puppycide. After doing a lot of Freedom of Information Act requests and tallying up accounts of dog shootings from news stories across the country, a duo came up with a figure. One dog is killed every 98 minutes by a police officer in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
It's a lot.
Holy shit, that's a lot.
Yeah. The number is not confirmed by any official source, but it is startling to say the least, especially because the filmmakers claim the number is actually probably much higher, saying that they use the figure as a low estimate.
They lowballed it.
That's insane.
Lowball.
Right. That's insane.
That is a little crazy.
I think so. But what do I know?
You're a dog owner. You know.
I am.
Oh, man. My mouth.
It hurts.
My
it hurts.
Yeah.
It's getting hard to talk. I feel like I'm like talking. I feel like I'm talking to Rocky.
Adrian. I did it.
God damn it.
I don't do those impressions very well.
No, you know you don't. You know who we haven't heard for a while?
Who?
Jim Jenkins. Yeah.
Honestly, I don't remember who Jim.
Feels bad.
Jim Jenkins.
Something like that.
Something like that.
you know what I say about these police officers killing dogs? Mm. They should be put down themselves.
Oh. Eye for an eye?
Eye for an eye, dog for a dog.
A dog for a pig. Oh, shit. I didn't. I'm sorry. That was bad.
Let's just grill them up and make bacon.
Do you remember, did you ever see the movie Wayne's World?
Wayne's World.
Remember the police officer comes in and he's like, they all stop. They're like, does anyone spell bacon? And they're like, ha ha, real funny, bacon pick. I get it.
Yeah, I watched that movie a long time ago. I do remember that movie.
Anyway. So we've been talking recently a lot about minimum wage and how some companies have caps for their CEOs and executives so they can't make a certain amount over the lowest paid worker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this happened again in a different industry.
Venue.
Raymond Burse, interim president of Kentucky State University, has given up more than $90,000 of his salary so university workers earning minimum wage can have their earnings increased to $10.25 an hour. In Kentucky, of all states.
Wow.
Yeah. My whole thing is I don't need to work, Burse said. This is not a hobby, but in terms of people who do the hard work and the heavy lifting, they are on a lower pay scale. Burse's annual salary has been set at $349,000, or it's just about $350,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
He has been Kentucky State University president from 1982 to 1989, and later became an executive at General Electric Company for 17 years, including 10 as a senior executive. He retired in 2012 with good benefits. Burse started talking with members of the Kansas City University Board of Regents about the gesture more than 2 weeks before the board met to approve his contract on July 25th. Burse asked how many university employees earn less than $10.25 an hour, an amount some say is a living wage. The current minimum wage is $7.25. That's the federal state minimum wage. That is Kentucky's, I guess, has not raised on their own. I think, we find out like 20 states, so I think so far, have raised it above the federal.
Forget.
I think it was
14 sticks out in my mind.
Okay.
14.
This is not a publicity stunt, he said. You don't give up $90,000 for publicity. I did this for the people. This is something I've been thinking about from the very beginning. The raise in pay for those employees will stay in place even after a new president is selected, he said. It will be the rate for all new hires as well. The change is immediate.
Boom!
Burse's salary is now set at $259,000, which is still nothing to, you know, squawk at. Burse replaces Mary Evans Scythe, who was president for 10 years. She retired June 30th. Burse said that he will hold the position for only 12 months while the board seeks a replacement for Scythe. The board asked Burse to do three things, include drawing up a strategic plan for the university. To do that, he said, he will conduct a cultural survey to find out what staff, faculty, and students are thinking. All right, the rest of it's just about the camp.
Just a bunch of mumbo.
But that's really cool that he did that.
It's really cool.
So
I wish our president at our school would do that.
I wonder how much he makes.
You could look it up.
We could look it up. Yeah. You want to real quick?
I'll look it up real quick.
He's Asian, I remember. I know that. I don't even know his name, though. Oh, no, it's Ali something. Ali. His first name is Ali.
You have to go to New Jersey State income.
It's on the books. It's on the books somewhere. It's a state school. Has to be.
Mm-hmm. It has to be somewhere.
Somewhere.
Oh, shit.
What'd you do?
It's really sensitive. Oh. You can talk about the next article.
That's what she said.
Heyo.
New Jersey State income for what?
No, that's not it.
What are you looking? What'd you search? Income? No.
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 You do it.
Yeah.
You look.
You're
better. I did it before once, but I forget.
I can spell. I can type too.
No, I can't do any of those things.
There's the president salary.
Oh, look
Boom.
At that.
Wow. Want to guess?
$324,000.
Nope.
What?
It's even lower than it was. So he got a raise last year.
Oh, we got a raise.
He did. So what did you just guess?
probably way too 324,000.
So that is actually less than it originally was before the raise.
Really?
Yes.
Less than it was before the raise.
Yes.
That is less than it was before the raise. Whoa.
He makes more than that.
How much more? How much more?
Guess.
500,000.
More.
What?
Yeah. Yep. This is where all my money's going.
625,000.
All right, you know. It was $550,000.
$50,000?
Holy shit. Last year, the Roan University Board of Trustees unanimously approved a $175,000 raise.
Fuck that.
For President Ali Husmand.
Let me see this bullshit.
That's
what the fuck does this fucker look like?
Bullshit.
Oh, this fucker.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. Over $500,000.
Wow. I'm ashamed to go to that school now.
Yeah, well, good thing I'm leaving soon.
That's pathetic.
It is pathetic.
That is pathetic.
It is pathetic.
They do nothing for us.
Nope.
Faggots. Fuckers.
Tuition went up this year.
I know. What the fuck? Oh.
I know.
I'm gonna kill someone, Kyle.
Oh, boy. All right, so, let's do this story, because this story is really cool for our last story.
Okay.
Okay. In the last decade, mobile devices have become radically smaller and more powerful. They have. Did you know that this iPhone,
uh-huh.
Do you know how many more times powerful it is than the computer that we sent the rockets to the moon? How many more times?
128 times.
Nope. 1,100.
1,100 times? Holy fuck. Okay.
Yeah. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
The list of tech-related tasks at the miniature black monolith we all tote around has grown larger by the year. The next step in technology's greatest disappearing act? Absorption into our clothes, body, and the environment. The question of how best to power that setup, however, remains an open one. Wearable and Internet of Things technology seems to be on all the time. In the former case, taking something on or off for recharging, like a health monitoring device, causes data loss and increases the chance it won't be used as much as it should or at all. And if you don't want a wire to charge sensors embedded through smart homes, offices, and cities. But what if these devices could pull enough power wirelessly from the air to run themselves and send signals? Sounds like science fiction?
Mm-hmm.
Not so according to a group of University of Washington engineers who are building a communication system called Wi-Fi Backscatter. The system powers devices using radio waves and connects them to laptops or smartphones over Wi-Fi networks.
Oh. Interesting. It's like RFID technology, but...
The scientists knew, so funny.
I know, isn't it?
Previous research has shown it's possible to run low-power devices off radio, TV, and wireless waves. The most recent work, however, took these devices a step further by allowing them to send their own signals using far less power than is usually required. If Internet of Things devices are going to take off, we must provide connectivity to potentially billions of battery-free devices that will be embedded in everyday objects. We now have the ability to enable Wi-Fi connectivity for devices while consuming orders of magnitude less powerful than what Wi-Fi typically requires. How does it work? The team made a tag of listens for Wi-Fi signals being sent from a local router to a laptop or smartphone or vice versa. The tag's antenna encodes data by selectively reflecting or absorbing the signals. The selective reflection makes the tiny changes in signal strengths that can be detected or decoded by other devices. Using this method, more powerful central devices like smartphones, tablets, or laptops can communicate with a range of low-power devices and sensors within about 2 meters at a rate of 1 kilobit per second. Hold on, let me read that again, because I'm trying to...
A little slow.
Well, it is slow, but without a battery?
Yeah. Basically,
that's actually very slow.
Yeah, it's very slow.
That's very slow.
That's extremely slow.
Yes. If you guys could, a normal 3 minute song MP3 is about 3,000 kilobits.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry.
300,000?
No. It would be 28,000 kilobits.
28,000.
Because it's times 8.
Yes.
Because a bit is 8 bytes. Yes.
Bit is 8 bytes.
Sorry, a byte is 8 bits, is what I meant to say.
That's, I understood what you meant.
Thank you. A pair of smart socks. That's right, smart socks.
Smart socks.
Could it, for example, relay data about your jog to a jogging app on your phone. Or temperature sensors throughout your home could communicate with thermostats to maintain optimum temperature inside.
You know, Kyle, this kind of sounds like that idea, that crazy idea you had.
What's that one?
Everything powers itself?
Yeah.
This kind of sounds like what this is.
I did, yeah.
This guy stole this.
I did say that.
Yeah, he stole this idea.
No, you were like, no, it's not possible.
This guy stole this idea.
You said it's not possible.
I didn't say it was impossible. I just said it'd be very, very difficult.
I should go work for these guys. They'll listen to me. Yeah. They'll listen to my ideas.
Yeah, sure they will.
My crazy ideas.
Crazy.
Joshua Smith, a co-author of an upcoming paper on the system and University of Washington Associate Professor of Computer Science and Engineering and Electrical Engineering. Jeez, how many fucking associate professors are you of?
Too many.
Says that although the signals are tiny and could well be lost in noise, the devices in the system are able to detect them because they know which specific patterns to look for. The team will present their findings at the ACM SIGCOM annual conference in Chicago. They are working to extend the system's range to 20 meters, have filed patents, and hope to start a company based on the technology. Given the prevalence of Wi-Fi, this provides a great way to get low-power internet of things, devices to communicate with a large swath of devices around us. Now,
swath.
I wonder
things.
If you put the Wi-Fi password in. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to. Just to get the signal. That's crazy.
That's a little wild.
It is a little bit wild. It's cool to think about, though.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, radio waves.
Yeah.
What they're talking about is radio waves are actually very, very large.
Yes.
Some of the radio waves that you receive for your, you know, like AM radio waves, their amplitude from bottom to top is almost as high as the Empire State Building.
Really?
And a sinusoidal, parabolic wave fashion.
Yes.
So they're extremely large depending on what waves you use. So that's why they're probably able to detect certain patterns because of it. But I don't know. I'd have to look into the physics of exactly what's going on.
What are FM? How big are FM radio waves?
FM radio waves are probably about as big as our house.
Okay, so they're smaller.
Yeah.
But they're more direct.
Right? Yes, they travel. What's the word? They travel faster. No, not faster. What's the word?
We don't know.
I gotta jug my FM physics
is,
brain.
FM is frequency modulation, and then AM is amplified modulation.
Possibly.
Yes. I learned that stuff so long ago.
Same.
In
I learned
school.
Yeah. And freaking physics.
101.
Way back when.
I had a question.
Yeah.
I forgot it.
Oh, it's gone.
Damn it.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Just like we're about to be gone.
We will be. Fuck, what was it? Oh, it's so good.
Boo, I think.
It was a question. Do they have goggles or glasses or cameras or anything like that can see waves in the air?
No.
That'd be so cool. If you could see those?
No, yeah, no. Waves are the only part of a wave you can see is light.
Right.
That's the only part of a wave. You can't see an electromagnetic wave. You can't see you can see the reverberations from a sound wave, like on water, but not from like frequencies and stuff like that, like radio frequencies. You can't see those.
Right.
However,
yes.
Interesting fact: birds.
Birds.
Birds. I don't know if people know. They actually. Are through their evolution developed a way to see the electromagnetic frequency, if you will, of the Earth.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they actually use it. You know, if you ever flew a plane, like when you fly a plane, you have that like little gyroscope thing.
Yeah.
They use that as their gyroscope to their relative position above the ground.
Huh.
So actually, I don't know if you ever seen like birds dead laying on the ground sometimes, it's actually theorized that the disturbing amount of radio waves and telephone and waves from our telephones that have invaded in the bird's space has actually caused them to like lose focus of the Earth's magnetic waves and actually causes them to hit things.
Well, we got to wrap this up. That's that's interesting. Yes. So we'll see you back next week for a last show in New Jersey until we head out. Well, me and Ethan. Jim will be with us though for next week's show.
Yes.
But
we'll do that Sunday.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to Ethan and and get him on as well.
Sunday.
I get off at 6 that day, so because we're gonna try to get better early.
Yeah, I don't think I work. I'm pretty sure I don't, but it's possible I do. But yeah, we'll figure it out.
Well, anyway, for the KY Jimmy Show, my name is Kyle.
My name's Jimmy.
And we will see you back here next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.